The world that we live in right now offers more comfort, more safety, more convenience, and even luxury than at any other time in the history of man. We have easy access to goods from all over the world. We can take trips and travel to places halfway around the world at a relatively modest price. Food, shelter, heat, water are readily available and so affordable in the developed world that we generally don't have to worry about them at all. In crisis, of course, that becomes the exception. But the point is that we don't have to worry about these things. In previous generations of man, these things that we take for granted were difficult to obtain and a source of stress. In this day and age, we have access to endless amounts of information and entertainment, and we can learn just about anything that we need to, if we have even a hint of interest in it, as obscure as it might be. And that's something that's unique to this generation. 20 years ago, that wasn't really possible. We have the ability to broadcast live video to viewers all around the world on a shoestring budget. There's a lot that we can do in this day and age. And materially speaking, the world is a great place. It's getting better all the time. Technology is pushing us forward. We're becoming more efficient in many regards, getting access to more comfort. And because of this, some might say that the return of Jesus Christ is unnecessary, undesirable even, or perhaps that it won't even happen at all. Some may say, why should Jesus Christ return? If life is so good right now, why would I even want that? Are questions that people in the world might ask. Well, the problem with this way of thinking is that it comes from a material perspective and not a godly one. It doesn't even come from a moral perspective. It comes from completely a perspective of just accumulation, material accumulation and lust and greed. However, seeing the state of the world from the perspective of a Christian doctrine, it is absolutely strikingly clear that we need Jesus Christ to return now more than ever. On one hand, it appears that this world is getting better and better and better all the time from a material perspective. But if you look on the other hand, we can see decay and decline, moral degradation at levels that are increasing now more than ever. These two perspectives are diametrically opposed. Lawlessness does abound right now, and it will increase and continue to do so. The purpose of Jesus Christ's return is not to make our material and carnal lives, physical lives, better. Just the opposite. We know that the physical lives of many at the time of Jesus Christ's return leading up to that point in time, will become very difficult. Many will die, in fact, at that time. Jesus Christ's return, the purpose of it, is to bring righteousness to this earth that is beyond imagination, is to implement things that are spiritually valuable. Now, if we look at the world around us, thinking in a physical way, and ask if Jesus Christ will return to this earth, it would be hard to find evidence of it. We can walk around in relative safety in the United States right now. And if you talk to a person on the street, a person who is not a devout, genuine Christian, they might say that they can't see why Jesus Christ would return soon. But if we think spiritually, if we have the perspective of Christian doctrine, the evidence of Jesus Christ's return is ample. So what perspective do you have is a question that we should all be asking. Will Christ return? You answer that question. So let's turn over to 2 Peter 3, and we'll read verses 3 and 4, which I believe, in my opinion, offers a very accurate testimony of our time of life right now. 2 Peter 3, and I'll actually begin in verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering toward us all, that not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The scoffers that we read about here have the perspective that is material, walking according to their own physical lusts. Those are the people who cannot see the evidence or the need, nor have the desire for Jesus Christ to return. They know about the claims of Jesus Christ's return to the earth, but they do not believe it. This is the mind of man, not the mind of God, speaking. If we don't think with the mind of God, it will only lead us to believe that Jesus Christ will not return. But when we do think with the mind of God, we understand much, much more. We understand the purpose of creation. And we understand the plan of God, which is spelled out right in this passage here from beginning to end. We understand that even though we might see the world around us and that it is ready for the establishment of the kingdom of God, that God is patiently waiting for people to repent. He wants as many people to repent now as possible. He's not calling everybody, though, but he's patiently waiting for some to answer that call. And this offers insight into the ways of thinking. But what does the Bible say about Jesus' return? Will Jesus Christ return? So we see the perspective. What does the Bible say about the return of Jesus Christ? Let's turn over to Revelation 22, and we'll read a few passages in this book. They're very brief. Revelation 22 and verse 20, right at the very end. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. It's pretty plain to see here. Jesus Christ will return to earth. And he says he's coming quickly. Let's turn back a few chapters to Revelation 3. And look at verses 10 and 11. Revelation 3 and verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. Statements about people are involved here with the context of Jesus Christ's return about coming quickly. It talks about the people who have kept the command to persevere, to hold fast. These are the people who are following Jesus Christ and actually believe in earnest that he will return. There is a proper way to live, is the point we all need to take away from this. We need to change our way of life during this time that leads up to the return of Jesus Christ, so that we can hold fast, so that no one takes our crown, so that we can persevere. That's what we should be doing to prove our belief that Jesus Christ will return. We read also what Jesus Christ said himself in John 14 and verses 1 through 4. John 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Again, we see a promise made by Jesus Christ saying that he will return. The answer in the Bible is very clear about the question of Jesus Christ's return. Will he return? Obviously, yes. This whole book is about supporting that final event that we anticipate. But the question about whether you believe it is one that only you can answer. And of course, you being here, I'm pretty sure that you do believe it. But the way of life is mentioned here. The question that we all need to consider is this: does the way that I live prove my belief? It's one thing to say that I believe Jesus Christ will return. The Bible says it, it's very clear. I can say that I believe it, but do my actions provide evidence that I believe Jesus Christ will come? Or do I speak the words and live in the world? Do I live according to carnal lusts as the scoffers do? We need to do more than offer lip service. We need to follow the way of life modeled by Jesus Christ if we want to prove by our actions that we believe he will return. Let's go to Matthew 24 and read verses 45 through 41, or 51, 45 through 51. Matthew 24, 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A very grim outcome is pronounced here to those who choose not to prepare properly. We find one type of person in this passage who lives in a way that is consistent with the expectation of Jesus Christ's return. That person is working, doing the work of God, living in a way that is consistent with the biblical teachings, that is in obedience to godly righteousness. And then we find the other type of person, the one who loses faith and whose beliefs diminish about what the Bible says is fact, that Jesus Christ will return. Clearly, they understand that the Bible says that Jesus Christ will return, but they don't live in such a way that they prove that they believe it. That person follows the carnal path, and they are pronounced as what? A hypocrite, somebody who says one thing and does another. Our faith in God's promise to bring Jesus back to this earth, to establish a righteous government, needs to be proven by how we live. So, brethren, the question is this, or if the question is this, will Jesus Christ return? If we're trying to find an answer to that, the answer from the Bible is clearly yes. There's no doubt about it. But we have to provide our own personal answer. Do we also say yes? And if we do say yes, we have a much bigger question to answer, which I will challenge us all with. Do our actions speak loudly enough to provide the same answer that we speak with our lips?